Well, welcome. So glad you're here this morning as we turn to God's Word together. This morning we're going to look at a passage from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to encourage you to recognize who you are in Christ. You are a representative of God. You are an ambassador of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we open this scripture, we invite you to speak to us through it, declaring your truths and making us aware of our true identity in you. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is speaking to the church there about who they are and how they're to be living and what their relationship is to the people around them. And he gives them this great challenge in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll pick up the reading at verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting to read at verse 14. It says, "For the love of Christ controls us," or compels us. "For the love of Christ compels us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." So we're talking about Christ dying for us. We're talking about Christ being the one who was the sacrificial lamb, who died in our place, that paid the debt of sin that we couldn't pay. His death on the cross applies to each and every one of us who by faith have entered into a saving relationship with Christ. The one died for all. Now, what does that mean for us then? We're the all in that sentence. We're the humanity that Christ died for because he died. Now, all of us have died with him. All of us have entered into this death to self and being alive to him. He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And so, in other words, we've died to our own ambitions. We've died to our own agendas. We've died to having to pay for our own mistakes. We've died to having our own goals as the foremost thing in front of our eyes. We've died so that we now live for Christ. Think about that for yourself. You, when you enter into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, when the gift of faith is given to you, you are changed from someone who merely lives in the natural realm, out of your flesh, and who now lives for Christ. Lives for Christ. Keep reading at verse 16. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer." Now, that's really difficult to do. I'm glad Paul is saying that he does that and that we all should do that. But what he's referring to here is really tough. But he's saying that we regard no one according to the flesh, or we regard no one according to the naturalness, or no one according to their mere biology. We look at people, we don't see them just for the creature that they are standing in front of us. We look beyond the front, down to the depths, and we consider people in the spiritual realm. We look at people according to what's in their spirit. We look at people as who they belong to, whether they belong to God, whether they belong to themselves, whether they belong to the world. We look at people in a spiritual dimension. Now, our eyes are physical. Our eyes are biological. Our eyes see the worldly reflection of light. And so we have to somehow go beyond the natural to the supernatural to do what this is talking about. Now, just a little while ago, we had a brief prayer here on the front steps of the platform. And we started off with one little guy. And we ended up with three little guys. Spiritually, anyway. Two of them were kind of old. But spiritually, was their spirit young? Were they little boys inside? Were their spirits jumping for joy? Were their spirits able to be little tykes who are excited about church? We want to see each other with spiritual eyes. We regard no one according to the flesh. Now that should be freeing for us. As we think about what's the most important about us, it's not just the appearance. It's not just the attire. It's not just the grooming. It's the condition of the heart. It's the things that are going on the inside. It's how our spirit is connected to God, our Creator. Your value, your importance, your position in society, those things that are judged by the world are no longer the criteria by which you are judged. But rather, it's how you are connected to God. We regard no one according to the flesh or the carnal or the worldly, but rather we look at people spiritually. That includes ourselves. We don't just look at others according to what's going on in spirit, but we look at ourselves. And so our attitude about ourselves can be changed from one of feeling like we're a failure because we're not measuring up in the world to one of realizing that God infinitely loves us, values us, and has made us His child. He's chosen us to be His own. That means you are valuable in the kingdom of God. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation, a new entity, a new being, a new creature in God's creation. A new person is born when the person responds to Jesus Christ in faith. When faith is imputed into them by the Lord God Almighty, they are a new entity. That's why it uses the phrase born again. There's a physical birth when a human is biologically brought out into the world, but there's a spiritual birth. There's a born again experience where a person is for the first time a new being in God's kingdom. Born again, a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Verse 18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself. God, through Christ, reconciled us to Himself. Have you seen some people that have been estranged? Do you know some people? Maybe you've experienced being estranged from someone yourself, where there's a relationship that's been broken, that's been severed. They're unreconciled. The offense that has occurred has caused them to go apart, go away, separate themselves from each other. It's resulted in a breaking off of a relationship. Sin causes that at a human level, and sin caused that at a supernatural level. Humanity, because of sin, is separated from its Creator. When Adam and Eve, our forefather and mother, chose to rebel against God, they in essence were kicked out of God's presence. And for every year, every moment since then, we have all lived east of Eden, kicked out of the presence of God. But God chose to make a way for reconciliation to occur. He chose to make it possible for you and I to respond to God's invitation of faith and enter into a reconciled, made whole relationship, a new connection to our God. He did it through Christ and His sacrifice. God, through Christ, reconciled us to Himself. And then there's the second part of this paragraph that we're getting to now. Because God has done that, because that's who you are, a reconciled person, a person in a new relationship with God, God has then chosen to give us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us now this message of reconciliation. So what that means is a person who was estranged from God receives God's grace, is given the gift of faith, enters into a new connection with Christ, a reconciled relationship with Christ, and at that very moment, that individual, you and me, are given the ministry of reconciliation. So we're made at peace with God. We look around us and we see people in a spiritual way, and we discern who is at peace with God. Who's been reconciled to God? If someone hasn't yet been reconciled to God, our role on this planet is to be an agent of that message of reconciliation with God. So that means you have an assignment from God that is of utmost importance. Sometimes you might feel like your life hasn't much meaning or much purpose or much significance, but that's a lie from the world. The reality is, in the spiritual realm, that when Christ reconciled you, he entrusted to you that ministry of reconciliation. So now everywhere you go, every day of your life, you are his agent proclaiming his message of how to be made at one, at peace with God, how to be reconciled to God. You receive it, and it oozes out of you to the people around you. You hear it, respond in faith to it, and then you let God speak it through your mouth to the people around you. You become an agent of God. You see, God chose, in verse 19, as he was in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. See, that's the amazing thing. Most of you have sinned at one time in your life. But now God chooses, when he pours his grace upon you, to no longer count that sin against you. That's amazing. Your record wiped clean by an act of God. Your sin's no longer a black mark on your report card. Your conscience, your record, your life's transcript is now cleansed of all bad marks. God has chosen by grace not to count your trespasses against you, but rather to bring you into a reconciled relationship with him. So every day we can go into the day saying, Lord, thank you that all my mistakes of yesterday are no longer on my record. I no longer have to look back and say, oh, I'll never get out from under that mistake I made when I was 17. I'll no longer get out of that mistake I made when that relationship was destroyed in the past. I'll no longer get out of that time when I lost my wits about me and did that stupid thing. That no longer describes me, defines me, or determines my future. But rather, I enter into the new day as a new creature, a new creation, made in God's image, filled with God's righteousness, at peace with God, reconciled to God, going into the day as his agent, as his representatives, as his ambassadors who proclaim what he did to us and wants to do to the people in our lives. Therefore, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, Jesus, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. The term ambassador is an old term, an old concept. We, of course, in this time, we have ambassadors that are sent from our president to other countries, and that practice has been going on for centuries and millennia. The leader would say, I need someone to go to this foreign land to talk to those people on my behalf, to tell those people who I am and what I expect and what my goals are and what kind of relationship I'd like to have with them. So kings sent out ambassadors. They spoke the words of the king to that new people, to the leaders of it and even the citizens of it. They lived in that host country representing their home country and the leader of that country. An ambassador usually went with a position of great importance and great recognition. An ambassador was usually respected in that host country as they saw him not just as an individual, but someone that was the very presence of the other country and its leadership. To be an ambassador was a position of great importance and respect. Usually they were provided for well. They had an embassy to work from and an ambassador's residence to live in, and their living expenses were met. They were given what they needed to provide for transportation and the interaction that they needed to have with the host country. Ambassadors were appointed. They were selected by the leader and then sent out. And while serving in that country, they communicated to that country all that their home country valued, the goals that they had, the type of relationship they wanted to have with this new country. Picture an ambassador sent off to an Asian country. Maybe Korea comes to mind. An American citizen picked by the president, sent to Korea, and while living in Korea, they communicate to the Korean leaders and government and citizens the values, the goals, the priorities of the United States. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are one picked by God, selected by God, empowered by God, enabled by God, provided for by God, sent out on mission by God to represent Him in a foreign land. Scripture talks about how we really are foreigners living amongst a foreign people, because we're really citizens of heaven. So right here in America, you really are, in essence, a foreigner, because you're not truly a citizen only of this country in which you might have been born, but really you're a citizen of heaven. And you live here in the natural as a representative of heaven, as a representative of Christ. Christ selected you, appointed you, sent you, now provides for you, and gives you your assignment. If you were suddenly sent off in an airplane to go live in Japan, maybe the difference of culture would make it apparent to you every day that you're living in a foreign land and you're an American citizen in a very different culture. That same reality ought to be hitting us each and every day as we live right here and right now. We really are citizens of heaven, appointed by God to live in this place at this time amongst these people. But we're only here as foreigners. We're only here as ones who are temporarily on assignment here. Our true citizenship is in heaven. And while we're here, we're ambassadors of Christ. Now, there have been times when the United States has sent ambassadors and they haven't done a good job. They've lived in ways that did not represent the best interests of America. They may be indulged in the baser sides of life. They may be involved themselves in some of the intrigues and conspiracies going on, or maybe they just got caught up in indulgence. We've had bad ambassadors from our nation sent out to other nations who did not serve us well. Maybe it was pride. Maybe they got thinking that, you know, they're so important, they really can just do what they want over there. Or maybe it was insecurity. Maybe it was embarrassment. Maybe they thought so little of themselves, they thought, well, who am I to go and talk to these leaders and these other important people in this country? Whichever of those two attacked them and derailed them, they failed to recognize that they weren't there on their own authority. They were in that land at the request of the leadership of their own government. And their message was not to be their own, but the message of the leader that sent them. Good representatives, good ambassadors, or bad ambassadors, both have existed. Which are you? Are you a good ambassador of Christ, or a bad ambassador of Christ? I know some people that just cannot get over the idea that they're worth anything. They're just so caught up in the fact that they're a nobody. And they wouldn't have anything to say of any significance. And they certainly don't have anything to offer to anybody else. The mistake that they're making is they're looking at self rather than at the one who sent them. Maybe you are just a pot of clay. Maybe you are just a cracked pot. Maybe you are someone of insignificance. And that's a good thing, because Christ has chosen to use the insignificant people of the world to proclaim His life-changing, miraculous message. Maybe insignificance helps you not fall into the trap of pride, where you think you can just do whatever you want and communicate whatever you want, live whoever you want. But in the middle is the position Christ wants you to have. Notice how it said that it's Jesus' work. He's the one that died in our place. The one who knew no sin actually took on all sin and then took all sin to the cross and died with it there, paying the price for it there, so that now we might actually become the righteousness of God. When Christ is your Lord and Savior, when Christ has drawn you to himself in faith, when Christ has poured his grace upon you, you now have the righteousness of Christ. And so your message is not your own. Your message is the righteousness of Christ through you to a hurting world. So would you ask God to pour his grace upon you today to make you aware of your role as an ambassador? First of all, receive your calling as an ambassador. Receive it. Say, God, I know this is your goal, to make me an insignificant human your ambassador now on this planet. Receive that. Once you receive that, secondly, I'd like you to start thinking like an ambassador. Open up the door, go out in the world and say, I'm an ambassador of Christ today. Whether you're going to school, whether you're going to work, whether you're going to interact in the stores and in the shops of the community, wherever you go, you travel as an ambassador. Think about yourself as an ambassador of Christ. And then act like an ambassador. Act in a way that represents God well. Act in a way that is honorable, that has proper decorum. Act in a way that represents that your first allegiance is to your King and that you are a citizen of heaven. Act like an ambassador, wherever you go. But then start talking like an ambassador. Ambassadors say words that come from the King they represent. Ambassadors communicate the goals, the intentions, the desires of the government that sends them. You are an ambassador of Christ. Your words should be the very words of the King that sends you. And then I invite you to pray like an ambassador. You see, an ambassador to a foreign land understands a little bit more about that culture than maybe the president does back home or the king who sent them does. So an ambassador not only communicates from host country or from home country to host country, but also is able to communicate back the other direction. And so as an ambassador of Christ, your ministry is not just to speak the words from Christ, but then to see the needs of the people you're serving and pour that back up to God in prayer and intercession. Something that struck me this week is we all really are ambassadors of God to the lost nations of our world. Every nation. Some have a particularly assigned nation, but in reality, there's a way in which we're an ambassador for every nation. That means that I and you are ambassadors for Afghanistan. We have a role to play in what's going on because we are on assignment from God. So we intercede for the nations of the world as we represent Christ. So let's respond to this in prayer. And in prayer, let's receive our appointment as an ambassador. Let's ask God to help us think like an ambassador, act like an ambassador, talk like an ambassador, even pray like an ambassador of Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we know we didn't deserve this, but by some miracle you chose us and you reached down and grabbed us and you poured your grace upon us and you caused faith to bubble up inside of us. So we are now your children. We are now yours. We now have your righteousness inside of us, replacing all the things that we've done. You no longer are holding our trespasses against us. Thank you. Now we ask you, Lord, for the faith to be able to respond to this invitation to be your ambassador. We say yes to the appointment. We stand and allow you to put your authority upon us to be your representatives on earth, your agents, your ministers of reconciliation, your ambassadors. We say yes to this role, Lord. Now help us to think like an ambassador, to see ourselves for who we really are, to see the assignment you've given us, to think about it as we walk about in our community, as we go about our day. Help us to think like an ambassador in terms of our role and our relationship with you and the world around us. And we ask for your grace that we can act like an ambassador, that we might represent you well. We might not fall into the sins of the culture around us. We might not be led astray and caught up in things like worry and fear. We might instead be one who is assured that of the fact that you have appointed us, we belong to you, and you are the one that's providing for us. And Lord, help us to talk like an ambassador. Help us to declare the King's words. Help us to hear from heaven and speak forth your truth. Give us the ability to represent you well in deeds, but in words as well, as we say your things to the hurting people of the world. And Lord, help us to pray. Help us to pray for the people you've assigned us to be an agent to. We pray right now for the lost of the world. We pray for those in Afghanistan. We pray, Lord, that they would be protected by you, that they would be guarded by you, that those who are your followers there would sense your presence and be encouraged by you. Lord, we hear of atrocities. We hear of persecutions. We ask, Lord, that you would protect, guard, enable, bring your gifts of joy. May these people represent you well there amongst their own people. May they be able to declare their allegiance to you no matter how intense the persecution comes. May the way they entrust their lives to you so impact the culture around them that thousands more replace these who are martyred. May there be a movement of your Spirit across that land. May there be awakening to the reality of your saving ministry and your death on the cross being applied to each and every one. Lord Jesus, we grieve when we see the hurting situations around the world, and we know that it grieves your heart as well. So pour out your power into these places. Pour out your goodness into these places. Pour out your protection, your provision, your enablement, Lord. And be glorified there. Lord, you chose us to represent you. We're amazed at that. But rather than running and hiding, we choose to stand and allow you to use us to extend your kingdom by your power for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.